Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we learn to live deeply from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Mountain tops are important symbolic places in Scripture. Today we gather at two mountain tops as we join with Moses looking over the promised land, as we join again with Jesus on the Mount of the Beatitudes. Next week we'll be on another mountaintop, the final Sunday in the season of Epiphany. The traditional reading for that day is on the Mount of Transfiguration. But today we stand overlooking the view of the future, looking out upon what may or may not be the way forward, and we are challenged with the question, how are you going to proceed into this future? What way will you go? The book of Deuteronomy is really Moses' farewell discourse to the people with whom he has spent a generation, 40 years, wandering in the wilderness, and now on the very brink of the promised land, he looks across the Sea of Galilee, and here is an image from Mount Nebo, and we can imagine the assembled nation of Israel before Moses. He would not go there with them. It was Joshua who was to lead them into that new future, but he had this word for them before they went. Choose life. Now, all of us, we don't have to think about thousands of years ago. We are all confronted many days our week, many hours of our day with our Jordan rivers, looking across a challenge of the day or of the hour to some new way forward. We are faced with the same question again, how will we proceed? Moses says, look, you've been with me this time. You've learned the ways of the God who has committed to you. You remember the God who took you out of slavery in Egypt. Now you are to go forward to keep that freedom. And as you go, be tempted this way and that way. You're going to ask to be inclusive of all the gods of the land you're going into, but I don't want you to be inclusive. I want you to be in relationship with me. Because I am the one who wants life for you, who wants you to flourish in this land. So choose me and choose life. Jesus has come to the top of the Mount of Beatitudes, and he sits down and gives his great sermon on the mount, but he expresses very much the same thing to those around him. He tells them, look, the future is before you. The future has been given to you. You are blessed. To go into that future, I want you to choose life. I want you not enough just to stay on the surface. He begins this sermon with what are called the Beatitudes. This section is known as the Antitheses. You have heard it said, I say. You have heard it said, but I say. It's not enough to live on the surface. Life is so much more complicated than that. You can go through life keeping all the rules and yet never holding to one of them. You can go through life using those rules to manipulate others and even to oppress others, but never live toward others. I took this picture on the Mount of Beatitudes. I couldn't help but get the irony in it. I don't know if you can read it from where you are. It's beautiful engraved stone, words of Jesus, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within." And just beside, there was a little kind of stream there, a little trickle of water, and the sign beside it said, "Water not for our drink." We are asked to go deeper than the words and deeper than the rules. Jesus says it's not enough to meet some checklist of things, some minimum standard, some outward legislation. You know, you've heard it said, do not murder, but I'll tell you, if someone cuts you off in traffic and you say a word or give a hand gesture in their general direction, you violated what I want you to be toward your neighbor. He goes on to give a passage or a series of lessons which really are about the treatment of women as human beings and not as objects or as playthings or as those that we can simply use at convenience. He's talking about a whole different way of men living forward into the world, and in this time again of Me Too, we need to remember the deeper commitment that we have. And now, fortunately, with women having greater equality in our world, they too are enjoined to look upon our neighbors, not as objects, not as tools or toys, but as neighbors, toward whom we have a commitment in love to seek their good and to be their neighbor. I couldn't help but smile this week. I took a couple of friends. They have birthdays this week, and I took them out to lunch. And it happened to be on Valentine's Day. And in the men's washroom, on the counter by the sink, there was a selection of Valentine's cards. And there was a sign with an arrow pointing down to them saying, "Take one on us. She'll never know." Which I thought was cute. But I also thought, well, there you go. You see, it's for someone who has forgotten Valentine's Day. And the card is kind of that surface thing. But really, the day should be about the whole life. And hopefully you won't need a card in the men's washroom to save your skin. And life is complex. Life is more complicated than rules. And Jesus knew this. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, he is going to say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be given to you as well." But now in our lives, we are confronted with many things which call us to lives beyond the rules, to lives of understanding, to live life not according to some police blotter or criminal code, but to live from the inside out. In his more recent book, The Second Mountain, David Brooks, and many of you will recognize him from PBS NewsHour. He's an op-ed columnist for the New York Times. He writes of the second mountain, that mountain on which people no longer strive for their individual success or strive for those goals that we are brought up to think we need to accomplish. That is the mountain from which you look out upon your life and the world and start to think, what does my life mean? How shall I live into this landscape and into this future with meaning? He speaks early in the book of people who radiate joy. He says the one thing that he recognizes about them, they are not perfect. They do not have perfect lives. They are not people who have accomplished all their goals. They are people who make mistakes and no stress and pressure. But they radiate joy. And part of the secret is that they have learned not to live toward themselves, but to live toward others. They have lived to give themselves away. And he doesn't say this, but I think it is true and extends with the point he was making, that they are the people who have no longer put themselves at stake. Their value is secured. They only seek what is valuable and what is life-giving for others. And in that, they know they themselves will be enriched and this world will be served. And so when we come to the challenges of our lives where the rules present us with a certain way forward, we are asked, what is our understanding? Perhaps as a nation, we are faced with such a situation right now as fellow citizens gather in support of the Wet'suwet'en people and the pipeline project. And it is disturbing, it's frustrating, because in many ways, they seem to be holding the country to ransom. There are vital supplies and vital goods that are not getting through to hospitals and to places and people who need them. There are people who are having their livelihoods strangled as rail traffic grinds to a halt. A court injunction was issued by a judge this week, and it was burned. Now, a court injunction, I think everyone here knows, that's the law, that's the rule. It is to be enforced, and the judge was frustrated and issued another injunction. And by the way, this has happened before. In 2013, the same rail blockades were held. The judge issued two injunctions, and he was extremely frustrated because the police did not enforce the law. But here we have again a situation where we recognize that that surface of the law has not always been one of justice. And as we come to engage our First Nations people, we must do so going beneath the surface and recognizing that there are behind these actions a history and a struggle where also people were deprived of livelihoods and of their dignity and of their value. And there is so much more that needs to be heard and to be done here than simply going through the surface. This is a complex reality because we are called to love our neighbor. It doesn't take away from the fact I want those trains to flow. I want those goods to reach the ports. but I also want people to have their dignity. And so somehow we have to find a solution that is deeper than an injunction. And I appreciate and understand the discernment of the OPP in this matter. Because, you know, when we start to listen to the hearts, when we start to live not on the surface but from the inside out, and when I speak of the inside, I don't mean the inside of our pain and brokenness, because we all have that inside. I mean the inside where God has reached us in that place of pain and brokenness and told us that we are acceptable and that we are valued. And that for all these laws, God has said, I love you beyond your sin. I love you more deeply than your failures. And from that place, I encourage you to look upon one another and even yourselves, so that from that place, you might go forward into the land and flourish. And it's wonderful when you see it happen. This young man's name is Dakota Reed. Very tragically and sadly, Dakota died a year ago, January, in a car accident. Now, there is no law yet, though in some ways I would like to see it become law, but there is no law yet that demands that we donate our organs to others when we die. But Dakota's parents made that difficult choice. And their son's organs went to serve others. Now, there was a law at one time that you were to never know who received those organ donations, but thankfully, in many ways, people have found a way around that law to write a word of thanks. Dakota's eyes allowed a 21-year-old to see, and his kidney and pancreas saved a farmer's life. But one person who lives in Massachusetts received a heart from this 16-year-old who died in Virginia. And just this past week, that person, his name is Robert O'Connor, he sent a package to this man. He is John Reed, Dakota's father. They had been in touch. He had thanked him for the gift of life through his son's death. And he always wanted him to know how grateful he was. But on this day, he sent him a package. He was going in for his one-year checkup to see how his heart was doing, and he arranged with the person doing the electrocardiogram something that I hadn't heard of before I saw this story this week. Apparently, there are something called Build-A-Bear. You can have a custom bear for your child, including having the child's heartbeat recorded and put into the bear. This young man built a bear for John Reed. There he is holding it. I don't know if you can see what's on the bear's chest there on his T-shirt. It says, Best Dad Ever. And of course, in that bear was Dakota's heartbeat. He said, I'd like to be there to give you this myself, but I don't know when I would be able to be with you, so I am sending this. Dakota's heartbeat. John, you can go online and watch the video. He says that many times as his son, after that accident, his brain was dead, his body alive, he would sit by his hospital bed and put his head on his chest and listen to his son's heart. Now he squeezed the bear's paw and put him to his ear again and listened to his son's heartbeat. Robert O'Connor didn't have to do that. There was no law that required it. But he lived from a place of gratitude. He lived from a sense that life is more than what you have to do. Life begins with where you see your neighbor and how you might love them and help them to flourish. Jesus sat on that Mount of Beatitudes and said, look, I don't want you to do the minimum in this life. And sometimes those rules even get in the way of doing what is loving. What I want you to do is follow me and live toward others. Live from the inside out. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us to stand on the mountaintop with you and see this world you love and see each person in it and live according to your way into the world. In Jesus' name, amen.